Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we've been working on your financial freedom. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Nathan and Stacy Milner, and we're excited to hear their story because it's rather extensive. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us.
Where are you guys out of?
We are out of northern Michigan, an old town called Traverse City.
How far up is that?
3.5 hours northwest of Detroit. Still in the lower peninsula, though.
You're up there in the Iceland, man.
not yet. We're not ready for that. This is the best part of summer right now.
I lived in Wisconsin. Boy, I'll tell you what, I couldn't wait to get out of there. It was beautiful during the summer, but I just could not take the cold, the winter, the snow for 10, 11 years that I lived there, shoveling snow, car wrecks every year, sliding off the highway, sliding off the roads. It's crazy stuff. So I'm glad that you can hold down that part of the country for us.
We love it.
Let's start by talking about what you guys did before you got into real estate. I'm going to get a little bit of background on you because your resume is rather complicated. So let's have you tell your elevator story. What did you guys do before you started real estate investing?
So before we really got into real estate investing, I was a VP of operations for an event management company, which required me to travel usually, 3 to 6 days a month. And that was a time where our kids were really young, so it was tough being away. But, I was traveling the country, which was fun at times, but that wears on a guy living in motels and airports and stuff like that. We were already doing a little bit of real estate investing when we came to Lifestyles, but we didn't really get into it until after I'd left that job.
So let's talk about that, guys. I'm always interested to see how people got into real estate before they came here. What attracted you to it then, and what was the philosophy behind your investing before you came here and absorbed our philosophy?
So I'd always wanted to be, to get into real estate investing. My father always told me something I should do, but never understood how to do it. We sort of got into it by accident with my very first house I bought, rather than short sale it. We thought, hey, we'll turn it into rental and we'll keep this for a few years. And so we did that, but at that point we're moving from Vegas to Dallas, and we didn't know where we wanted to live in Dallas. So we said, hey, let's buy a house to be a rental property. We'll live in that for a year, figure out where we want to live, and then we'll buy the house to buy a primary residence. So that was really how we kind of started on our own. And then fast forward a couple of years later, we bought a second rent house. And thought we were doing good, but as far as you mentioned velocity, that was, we didn't really know what to do next, and we didn't really do it right because we were one of those people who paid cash for one of those rent houses. So we didn't realize that we were not using leverage and doing that part of real estate investing wrong until we got educated. And that was, that's what really opened our eyes.
Yeah, that's an interesting aha moment. So, Stacy, what about you? What did you do before you started real estate investing?
So I was in the event industry and the wedding industry. And then I ended up becoming a stay-at-home mom with our two daughters, and then just managed our two single-family properties as well.
So both of you in the service business, do you guys think that that helped your ability to grow in this industry?
I would say, on the communication side of things, is you're dealing with different people in both the previous jobs that we had. So you're having to understand how to communicate with all different walks of life. So I think that certainly helps as you're communicating with various types of residents.
So how did you guys hear about us?
Through a vendor, actually, a Lifestyles vendor. It kind of came out of frustration. We were getting ready to move. We were getting ready to sell one of our rent houses, and no one in my network could explain to us how to do a 1031 exchange. And I went, you know, talking to him all frustrated about this, and he's like, I know I can get you in contact with someone. So he immediately called the director of the vendor program, and next thing you know, I was on the phone with someone who could facilitate a 1031 exchange 10 minutes later. So that certainly opened my eyes and made it attractive to come check out Lifestyles. And as soon as I went to a 2-day, I was calling Stacy on the phone saying, hey, let's do this now. You know, she'd be the one to say it was the only quick decision I've ever made in my life.
All right. So Stacy didn't go to the first 2-day. You just went by yourself?
Correct. She was already back in Michigan. This is a transition period for us. I was still in Texas wrapping up my old job, selling a rent house, selling a primary residence, and she was back in Michigan with our kids looking for a new house for us to move into.
All right. So let's talk about that first 2-day you went to then, Nathan. What was the aha moments for you in that?
As I mentioned, the leverage was really the big one. And sitting there realizing that although our rent properties did good, I could have owned 10 houses instead of 2 had we known how to properly do this. And realizing what the equity we had in the existing properties at the time, like that, had we bought more and leveraged money the right way, that would have been life-changing for us. So that was certainly the big aha moment for me.
All right. So you went through that, and your aha moment was about what you could have done with houses. But I see in your resume here you've got apartments. What happened?
Correct.
When did that transition happen?
When we got back to Michigan, it was right after I went through the 2-day. So we got kind of settled in. But I realized out of the gates, like, the economy is a scale. The more families you can put under one roof, usually the better your return is going to be. So we immediately started looking for multifamily type properties and then bought a 4-unit and a duplex on the same day, a couple months after we moved back to Michigan. Stacy's able to get to a 2-day after that, and we started pursuing the multifamily education. And had we not come to Lifestyles, we had never known buying apartments was possible for us. But after that education, we realized it was. And, you know, continuing the economies of scale thing, we thought if we could put more people under one roof, the better returns we were going to have. So we've been pretty steadfast now in just looking at multifamily properties only.
So this conversation so far seems like you guys were pretty much on the same page the whole way, or was there any dissonance from either one of you? Do we have a skeptic at all anywhere in the group, or is it just two let's get it done people?
I would say I'm more the skeptic. I mean, she's certainly the type A, I'm the type B. There's no question about that. You know, if a property comes up and she likes it, she's pushing me to go for sure.
All right. So you did the duplex and a fourplex, which, by the way, for people listening out there, those are considered single-family houses. They're financed like single-family houses. They're operated like single-family houses. So you still hadn't tiptoed into the multifamily. Let's talk about where was the first place you decided to stick your toe in. Or, by the way, no, how many single-family did you buy before you decided to go to the multifamily route?
Just those two. We haven't bought any single-family since the 4-unit and the duplex.
Okay. And then what made you change your mind and go ahead and go to multifamily? Because it is a completely different bag.
We were bound and determined to make a living for ourselves and not go back and get real jobs. And we had bought in 100% to the Lifestyles model and education. So we knew that was just a natural next step for us. So we kept looking for a property and finally got lucky right in the middle of COVID, or as that was starting, and we're able to take down our first multifamily property.
Okay. How many units was that?
That was 14.
Was that a syndication or an IRO?
Both of our properties are IROs.
Okay. So let's talk about on this property, when you bought it, what did you have to do to it?
Everything was just out of date. We had to get a roof put on one of the buildings, so that was the main capital expense out of the gates. After that, I was just moving on to unit rehabs and refreshing the common areas. And we were dealing with, so we bought this building, or these two buildings, from the people who built the buildings in the late 70s. So we're dealing with things like floral linoleum, floral wallpaper, harvest gold showers, things like that that were in style then but are long gone out of style now. So we knew that if we refreshed everything, made them look more modern, we were really going to be able to jack the rents up. The outdatedness of the property, along with really low rents, is what screened opportunity to us.
And what did it cost you per unit to do that remodeling?
They're usually right around $10,000 or so.
Okay. And what kind of a rental lift did you get out of investing that $10,000 into that unit?
Oh, at the time, I think it was 50% to 60% increase, comparing what the rents were when we took over to what we're getting now for those renovated units. We've more than doubled the rents.
Okay. So how long did it take you to do this, and have you completed it?
Have not completed it. So we've done our unit rehabs as the units have gone vacant. So we're probably, I have to count them up, but I think we're probably 60% rehabbed as far as the units go.
All right. Now, you said something a second ago that kind of threw me. You said both properties. You have two apartment complexes?
So this 14 units is two buildings, an 8-unit and a 6-unit.
I got you. Okay. Yeah, that's why it threw me. Like I said, your resume is rather interesting because it looks like you own like 20 or 30 or 40 houses or apartments or something. It's just the way that it was put down on here. It doesn't track very well. So you bought, these are the only two apartments you own, is these the two we're talking about right now?
No, we also have a 16-unit community on the other side of Traverse City.
All right. Which one did you purchase first?
The 14.
All right. So when you purchased the 14th, how did you pay for it? If it wasn't a syndication, you did it as an independent owner. How did you guys pay for it?
We financed it through a local credit union and put our money down. Luckily, we had squirreled away enough to be able to take this big leap of faith.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you didn't pay cash again.
No, we learned that lesson. Not doing that again.
I'm just asking, you know, you don't know until you ask. And so we got this one here, and you're still working on turning it around because you're taking it as they come due. Got that. How long after that before you bought the next one?
About 3 years. So we bought this one in April of 2020, and the 16 unit came in December of 23.
And are they similar type investments, or are they different? How did you see this second one?
I guess I would call them similar in style and unit count. The newer property, it needed some updating, but not as extensive as the 14 unit did. So we're doing similar there, unit rehabs as people leave. Some of the decent units we've cleaned up and just turned over without rehabbing them. But I would say similar properties.
All right. So you got 30 total units just in these. Do you still have the duplex and the fourplex?
The duplex we still have. We sold the fourplex that was already in a 1031, and we used the funds from that to help fund the purchase of the 16 unit.
And the combination of the 30 units between the two apartments and the duplex, do you have any other investments?
We have three passive deals, one in the Dallas area, one in Indianapolis, and one south of us in Michigan, a couple hours.
All right. We'll come back to the passives in a minute because that's something different to kind of focus on. With the volume of units, I'm trying to go somewhere with this, by the way. With the volume of units you have, 30-some-odd units, were you able to take one or either of you off of your job? In other words, you able to get them out of the W-2 job?
So we were out of our W-2s when we first came to Lifestyles. Like I said earlier, we're trying to make a go at this, and we're all in on it. So this is our job and has been for several years now.
Okay. So you were retired early, looking for a place to start your own personal business, then, basically, huh?
Well, I wouldn't look at us as retired. And we're self-employed, so we control our destiny. We're very much involved in our rental properties. You know, we're self-managed, so you know it's still a lot of work. So we have some of the benefits of being retired, but I wouldn't call us retired by any stretch.
Do you still do any of the other work that you guys did before, maybe on contract situation or not?
Not the type of work that we did before. I have a small side hustle, repairing windows for Anderson Windows, but otherwise, rental properties is all we do.
Okay. So let's talk about what you would do differently if you had this two properties to do over again. Anything?
On these particular two, I don't know that there would be much I would do different.
Then what did you do correct? What really knocked it out of the park for you?
Raising rents, obviously, fixing things the proper way. You know, when we do a rehab, we're changing everything. I mean, down to outlets, light switches, and plumbing shutoff valve. Everything gets changed. That way we don't need to worry about it. And I tell you, it's alarming. Some of the things you find when you're making all small changes, something that should have been repaired long ago that was overlooked. So I think we certainly did that the right way. You know, a lot of people in our group are always looking for non-recourse loans. Well, ours are both recourse because they're with a local credit union. But working with that local credit union has made purchasing these types of properties, much easier.
Okay. So you've already got yourself set up there, and it only took 30 units and a duplex to get you there. Wow, that's a wonderful story. I guess we'll take a short break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about some of this passive investing you did also, why you decided to move into that also. We'll be right back with Nathan, Stacy, and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
What if you had a plan to build income outside your job? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how people are investing in real estate to grow their income and make smarter financial choices one property at a time. Right now, join us for just $297. That's a savings of $443 off our real estate education program. Text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are speaking with Nathan and Stacy Milner out of Michigan on the Tell Del Show. And as we went to break here, we just talked about a couple different apartment complexes that they own. They actually own three different apartment complexes, but they break it down into two small ones equals one, and then one more. So they've got a 14 and a 16 unit. As I went to break, I was thinking here, guys, have there been any, you know, as you were looking for all these properties, what did you run into? Were there ones, did you ever find any that weren't interesting that or were just terrible? Or, you know, did you keep turning them down or did you luck onto the right ones right away?
When these ones came about, we locked onto them right away. But, yeah, we've certainly looked at plenty of deals that we walked on. I would say one of the more frustrating ones for us was a package of apartments that came up. Three of the buildings were adjacent to our 14 unit. So we wanted them bad. But when we walked the properties, they were just disasters. And the seller wanted top dollar for them. It wasn't going to make sense. So it was really frustrating because we thought we were going to have an opportunity to grow our portfolio right there on the same road. But it just made no sense to buy those buildings.
Gotcha. So, Stacy, what about you? You have been totally silent the whole time. How do you fit into this whole picture?
So So I handle finding us the properties and then annoying Nathan enough to make him go look at them. <'Cause> I'm always ready to buy something. And then I handle all the leasing side on my own while I make him go out to do all the maintenance and the repairs. So, I've enjoyed our wild ride with him breaking away from the corporate world and us doing this on our own. It's been a lot of fun.
So how many kids do you have? And you work them together. I assume this obviously you're taking care of your kids and doing this. Do you self school or in homeschool?
So we have two kids. We have a fifth grader and a seventh grader, two girls. No, and we do not homeschool. And they're very active. And Nathan has been a big part of seeing the joys of being around more to be able to be part of their, you know, school events. And I volunteer as much as I can to our school to give back. Nathan also has been able to enjoy the practices and sports because I feel like that's kind of our life right now is kids still.
So have they picked up anything on what you guys do? I mean, obviously, they don't have a mom and dad to get up and go to work every day. You know, obviously, you get up and do something, you work, but you don't go to a job every day, J-O-B. Have they ever mentioned anything about it? Have they absorbed any of that?
Yeah, so our oldest, back a couple of years ago, had to do a career choice and a whole presentation on it, and she did it kind of all on her own, and she showed it to us, and she's like, I'm going to be a property manager, and I said, okay, and she's like, well, I was going to say I want to be an investor and then manage, but people don't understand that, and it's kind of funny because our oldest one enjoys, she actually really wants to become a writer and an artist, and that's kind of her thing, but she keeps doubling down, and she said, well, I'm probably not going to make it as an author, so I'm going to do this so I can have my hobby and enjoy the flexibility so I can do both. So I do think it has rubbed off. I mean, she definitely sees the benefit of our availability that we have to be able to do everything, and our oldest definitely is wanting to follow the same path.
You know, that's actually pretty smart when you listen to it. I like that story. She's figured it out. Get myself a little passive income, and I can go over here and be a writer no matter what. They can't tell me no.
Exactly.
That's a good story. So do you ever take them out, ever, while you collect rent or do anything at the apartments?
So for my side, the girls are with me for most turnovers because they know their little job of making sure it's ready. So they have their own little cleaning tote, and they know kind of the checklist to go down, and they're really active in that, and they kind of go through and mark off anything that needs to have a maintenance ticket for their dad to do if we see anything. So they're definitely actively involved on the turnover side, as well as a little bit on leasing, because they've always asked about, you know, how does that look, and you know, what do you say for showings? So they're not part of that process when we do showings, but they definitely have the knowledge of all of that. And then, of course, probably the most fun for them is collecting coins from the laundry. They just, that's an instant gratification for them to see all of that and then count it out before getting it deposited.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Well, I'll say they hear the conversations that were on the phone too. So our youngest is real inquisitive. So they may not be super involved in the business, but they understand what it is and what's going on. That certainly generates some interest from them.
That's cool. So did you guys eventually get into passive deals also?
We did a couple passes right out of the gate. So that was the second thing that attracted us to become members, was being able to put money on other people's deals and not have to do anything with them. But, you know, it came pretty clear pretty quick that wasn't going to be the only investment path we could go down. You know, we wanted to increase our net worth as quick as possible. So that's, you know, that's also one of the reasons we were buying, you know, we bought our own properties, but we like being able to be in both, you know, a few passive deals, but we're still waiting to buy, you know, the next property for us.
So what is the limitation for you guys buying the next property?
Lack of options right now, in my opinion. There's not much trading in our area, and hasn't been for a couple of years.
Okay, you haven't noticed that the marketplace is starting to come back?
In our area, not. Our area is still very competitive, and there's just not a lot of turning.
Most everywhere else, man, we're seeing it just the volume has gone up radically. In fact, it's starting to be like work to me again. I have to mentor all these people.
For us, we're looking in such a small area. We're really wanting to stay in the northern Michigan area because we do plan to still self-manage it. So it does limit us, and we're not in a large city either. Our neighboring cities are just not very large.
So you don't have a manager for either property? You are the manager?
Correct.
And he is the maintenance man.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yep, that's the old saying. If you don't have one, you is one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They all know him as the maintenance man when he comes around.
Do you tell him you're the owner?
No.
Nope. They don't even know we're married. They rarely see us even together on property. But I always introduce him like, you're going to meet him. He's the maintenance man. And I always, they always have his contact information if needed, and it's kind of funny.
Boy, that is interesting. I have to laugh at that.
The interactions with tenants are a lot better when you're not the owner.
Yeah, that's so true. That is so true. I don't know, somewhere along the way, I liked being the owner, and it's like the answer's final, you know. Well, I want to talk to your boss. I am the boss. What do you want to talk about? But, you know, I understand it, because they always want something. They think you're the owner. They think you're rich. But if you're out there and you're in dirty blue jeans and tennis shoes and you're driving a pickup truck, it doesn't make you look that rich, right? But that's okay. I understand your way. A lot of people do it your way and are very happy that way.
Well, and I think that's also one of the things that got us through the COVID era so successfully. We were brand new to that property, but they saw me, especially there, they saw us there on a regular basis and saw we were trying to fix this property up. And I think that helped a lot of people buy into, hey, you know, we better keep paying our rent. We don't want to get kicked out of here. It's a good thing going. These people, they care about this property. And I think that has value to it. And I think that's something that's often overlooked.
Well, you guys came through the COVID and survived it, so that's a good thing. So, Stacy, what do you think is the most important thing about what you guys have done? How would you characterize, like I said, the most important aspect of what you've done? What is it?
I mean, in terms of where we're at currently, it's just that we've been able to balance our work and life better in our life. What we currently have for our active properties are more than manageable between the two of us to self-manage. But we finally have found a balance for our family. And before that, it was just too far on the work side and not enough family. So I would say that's probably the most important.
Okay. And Nathan, what do you think is most important about what you guys have done?
I would say control. We have control over our lives and our financial life. I agree that you said about having the balance. You know, we can go do things with the kids if we want to. We don't need to take time off from work, which is great. But more importantly, we're not beholden to an employer who is going to decide how much we're worth and how long we're worth it. So to me, that's, you know, when you leave a W-2 job, it is terrifying because you don't have that steady income anymore. And it was that way for a period of time. But I'll tell you now, I feel like we have control over our financial life, and it's up to us. We're in the driver's seat. And that, for me, gives me far more comfort than whatever I ever realized it would.
Stacy, looking back at what you've done now, what would you have done differently, if anything?
I probably would have pushed more in the younger years of us just to purchase more, as well as I wish we weren't as terrified back in 2020 when we purchased our first multifamily, I wish we weren't so terrified and would have just kept the ball rolling. Looking back, I mean, we were very hesitant back then. Where compared to now, we're ready once something, you know, fits into what we are looking for. We're ready to go. Where back then we were a little bit more hesitant.
Nathan, if you had to do it all over again, is there anything you would have done differently?
Similar to what you said, back when we were in the single family days, you know, I would have bought a lot more, you know, leveraged money properly. Had we done that, that would have certainly catapulted us to be further along with multifamily. And I agree with what you said also. And, you know, 2020, I wish we weren't as scared and apprehensive on that first property, because I think there's more and better buying opportunities in our area at that time. There's a couple places I remember coming up where we wouldn't look at them, but we were still in the midst of trying to get this new to us property fixed up and increase rents, and it just didn't seem like the right time. But, you know, had we had the confidence then that we do now, we would probably own those properties.
What do you do when you guys decide to take a vacation or something like that? Do you have people that step in for you to watch your business?
We have people that we can call if it's something minor. If it's something that requires a tradesperson, then we're going to call them and have them go out and do it. There's usually nothing that we can't handle remotely just by calling the right people.
So there's no problem for you guys to take off and go on vacation. You can handle it from afar?
Correct. I mean, it just certainly gives me some discomfort if I can't run over there and fix something easy. But, it doesn't prohibit us from doing that at all.
All right. Stacy, how about you? Do you have any problem with leaving home and taking the work with you?
No. I mean, my side, I can pretty much travel 80% of the time because it's all remote work. You know, leasing season is probably my only time, though, that I physically need to be present here. But other than that, I mean, I just kind of schedule my trips around that.
Okay. When you decide that you're going to buy your next property, what size are you looking for?
I think I would say somewhere between 12 to 25 or 30.
Stacy, how about you?
I mean, I probably would have said closer to 50. I'm open-minded because I'm really open-minded on anything that comes up. But I know that he wants to stay a little bit smaller, and I'm ready for something a little bit larger that maybe has some staff on there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, that next, you guys are right at the bottom there where the next step is to go to something where you have a staff. And realistically, you buy one that has staff. Now that staff becomes you. I mean, do you follow what I'm saying? They can now manage your other two little properties also.
Correct. Yeah, that's the goal, is get big enough to where we can have staff and delegate some of the stuff that we're both doing.
So the two of them you have, are they close enough to be combined as a property? Or I don't really mean put them together, they have one property, but would staff be able to run those two together?
I think so. I mean, they're not really demanding properties, so you really don't need on-site staff. So they're geographically close enough, you know, a maintenance man could jump between the properties.
Excellent.
Leasing side of things would probably be easy as well.
All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with everybody. And for the rest of you out there, remember, this is not just some money. It's a lifestyle, a total lifestyle of freedom that they have obtained. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.